It is the 2nd of February. I think we've all recovered from what was a pretty big Saturday night. It was a chaotic, what, 90 minutes there. So we'll talk about it. I did do a show. I did a show with Dan. I did a show with Matty G. So there's plenty out there, but we'll do a quick recap of the trade from Saturday night featuring Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis. And we will look at Sunday's 5 games of NBA basketball. This is the Sunday pre-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All right. So nothing else has happened. I woke up and I was expecting some other weird moves and trades, but nothing. Currently, nothing has really changed following last night's trade. I'm reading things on Twitter, obviously, at the moment. It certainly just sounds like the Mavericks wanted a change of, I don't know, direction, philosophy here. It was a move that was done without consultation in terms of the players: Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, LeBron James. None of them knew. And it doesn't sound as though Luka had approached the Mavericks and sort of indicated he didn't want to be there or he wanted a trade or anything like that. They've just come out and said that they wanted to be more defensive-minded. And look, it's fair to say that there's a lot of footage going around at the moment about Luka and some of his maybe shortcomings on the defensive end of the court. Not saying he's on an island there, but it's certainly a move that if they're saying they want to be more defensive-minded, they are now with Anthony Davis, Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively protecting the rim. I would still argue that guard-wise, they're not like – so is this the first – obviously the big move, but the first move in a series of maybe another move or another two or three moves where they do try to bolster the backcourt from a defensive perspective as well. They are very, very deep in the backcourt now. We'll talk, they do play tonight too, so we will talk about their roster for tonight and their roster moving forward. So we'll just quickly recap, I suppose, and actually, no, let's do the games because games start in 15 minutes. So let's do the games very quickly and then we'll do a quick recap at the end. So the first game of the night, which tips off in about 15 minutes, Chicago at Detroit for the Bulls. Still no Zach LaVine. He was doubtful. I think we weren't expecting him to come back. So we will assume they will run with this four-guard lineup again. Lonzo Ball, Ayo Dosunmu, Josh Giddey, Kobe White, just running with Nikola Vucevic. So we're rostering all of those guys at the moment. Patrick Williams, worth a look. He's playing better off the bench. Mattis Buzelis, also the minutes have slowly been increasing. He is one of my stash guys, so I think he's doing enough now to actually be rostered. And we will see what it looks like when LaVine comes back. For Detroit, their usual starting five as well. Cade Cunningham. I'm looking over there. I should be looking straight ahead, bring the games up. Cade Cunningham playing very, very well at the moment. Asar Thompson, look, he's questionable in terms of whether he's a must-roster player. Tonight he probably is because there's only 5 games. Tobias Harris has been better over the last 2 to 3 games. Probably a hold at this point. I know some people moved on from him, and I still think that's okay. the ceiling is pretty limited here. He's not reaching top 50 value or anything like that. So if he moved on, obviously it's a bit of a bummer, but I'm certainly okay with it. I don't think it's a move that will haunt you or anything like that. Tim Hardaway has cooled off lately, but if you need threes, he is someone you could consider. Tonight, Dallas at Cleveland, the aforementioned Mavericks without, well, no Max Christie, no Anthony Davis. Obviously, part of the trade in, and Anthony Davis is injured. They're also without Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. So they're basically throwing the towel in here without saying it, or maybe they just are saying it. Against Cleveland, they obviously viewed this as an opportunity to rest some guys, and that's what they're doing. So they're starting five, and I guess this is a really good indication of the depth that they have at the guard position at the moment, because they're going to roll out Spencer Dinwiddie and and Quentin Grimes, who are both very serviceable. They'll have Klay Thompson, they'll have Najee Marshall, and we assume Olivier Maxence Prosper. So a lot of streaming value here tonight in Dallas. Dinwiddie probably rostered already. Grimes potentially dropped, so go and add him. Thompson's probably rostered. Najee Marshall, good chance he might be available. He hasn't really played a ton over the last few weeks, working his way back from an illness. In terms of the center spot, I guess Maxence Prosper, I guess you probably give him a look just because he really is their only center. I'm not sure what you're going to get out of him. I'd rather target those guards, Najee Marshall. I like Dante Exum, but I just don't think that they can push him beyond about 15 minutes at the moment, coming off a pretty lengthy absence. So Jaden Hardy would be another one. If he gets hot, they'll just leave him out there tonight. So I think he's an interesting guy as well. And for the Cavs, they are without Isaac Okoro, who's been out for a little bit here, but Caris LeVert returns. That probably impacts Max Strus, Sam Merrill, Ty Jerome. Jerome has been very good over the last 2 weeks. With LeVert back, he probably cut the sort of top off his value. In saying that, they're playing a Dallas team that's running out this, whatever this is. So, yeah, there's potential that this is just a blowout and Ty Jerome plays 20 minutes again and continues his recent form. So if you've got him, I still would hold him despite the return of LeVert. And as for LeVert, he might be on somewhat of a minutes restriction. He usually doesn't play more than about 25 minutes anyway. So it could be a usual serving of Caris LeVert, which might be enough on a low volume day to consider him. Third game of the night, the Clippers at the Raptors. Clippers without Norm Powell. He's out with a hip injury. I don't think it's anything too serious. There's no word on this being a multi-game absence or anything like that. Amir Coffey will start. You probably add him. We've seen him start. We've seen him play well. It's not guaranteed. A lot of that came without Kawhi Leonard. And Leonard, as we know, is back and playing very well at the moment. But I think I'd still give Coffey a look over guys like Kevin Porter, Terrence Mann, Nick Batum. Porter would be the only other one, I think, there that would interest me tonight. For the Raptors, quickly, he was played about 15 minutes in the last game. We will assume he will probably play a little bit more, but not starters minutes. I don't think we get close to 30 minutes or anything like that. Bruce Brown had also been playing well, but did not in the last game. Again, low volume day. If you can get 20, 22 minutes out of him, that might be enough. Agbaji, likewise, I think I'd rather Bruce Brown. He can just do a little bit more than Agbaji. And Orlando Robinson, who I've talked about him, I like him. I'm not adding him or anything tonight. But, yeah, ahead of Kelly Olynyk, ahead of Chris Boucher, I don't mind seeing that. I mean, I love Kelly Olynyk. but I think they need to move him. He doesn't really serve a purpose here in Toronto. We'll see. 4 days till trade deadline, 5 days, not long. Boston at Philadelphia. Peyton Pritchard, only player questionable. They are running with all of their other starters or all five of their starters, as well as Al Horford, which means Pritchard's value takes a bit of a hit here. Sam Hauser, no thanks. Luke Kornet, probably not. Horford, very borderline, probably not. They're playing the Sixers, who have been playing very well without Joel Embiid and Paul George, who continue to be sidelined. Yabusele has had some really nice games. Make sure he's rostered. Justin Edwards, I still don't mind him, even if Caleb Martin returns here tonight. I think Edwards brings them a little bit more offensively than Caleb Martin. Although if we remember back to I don't know if it was the last time the Sixers played the Celtics, but when they played the Celtics earlier in the season, and I think Caleb Martin had 7 threes in that game, and Philly won. So you never know. Maybe this is a Boston thing and Caleb Martin just likes playing the Celtics. So you could certainly give him a look if you've just got plenty of streaming space. He's coming off an injury, so I'm not sure how much they play him. Kyle Lowry. I don't think we need to bother with Kyle Lowry, do we? Final game of the night, Memphis at Milwaukee. For Memphis, still no Marcus Smart. He's been the topic of trade rumors, as have a lot of players. Ja Morant is doubtful. If Morant is out, it appears Luke Kennard is going, well, he has been starting, playing over Scottie Pippen Jr., so make sure Luke Kennard is rostered. Zach Edey will probably start. We could play 15 minutes, could play 25 minutes. I think tonight especially, just roster him. So you might get some blocks, you might get some rebounds. Brandon Clark, who also has been playing well as the backup, he played 30 minutes in the last game. I don't think he'll play 30 tonight, but still enough there just for him to have some back-end value. Aldama, Scottie Pippen, GG Jackson, Jake LaRavia, Jalen Wells, all of these guys could have some value tonight. I mean, I would assume this is going to be a competitive game, so we probably don't go as deep into the rotation as we might in a blowout. So Jalen Wells would be the priority just because he's starting, I think. And then I'd probably go Aldama. He tends to find a way to value. So I'd probably go him over, I don't know, Pippen, GG Jackson, I guess. For the Bucks, a lot of P's there. Lillard, Prince, Giannis, Lopez, Middleton, Trent, all probable. I guess probable. We assume they probably play. If that's the case, we don't need to talk about the Bucks because we know when they're healthy, there is very little outside of Dame, Giannis, Brook Lopez. Bobby Portis is still out, but that hasn't really resulted in anyone stepping up. Chris Middleton has been very, very hot and cold. I think he was hot in the last game, so maybe this is a cold game. We will see. Gary Trent, if you need threes, that's about it. All right, let's get into some questions, not many. And it's just Chad, who fell asleep and missed the trade, apparently. Yes, we went to bed right after the Royal Rumble and missed, yeah, you did miss a small nugget of information there with that trade. In terms of the Royal Rumble, I thought it was good. I didn't think they'd put they're not putting the belt on him, but on Uso, he's been wrestling really well. Yeah, it's good to see. Oh, I love it when these tag team guys break out and sort of develop their own identity. They're still obviously linked, the Uso brothers, and their rivalries, and they fought each other, and then they made up, and all that sort of stuff. But still part of the bloodline on and off. But I thought it was good. I thought CM Punk would win, but he obviously got eliminated just before that. I didn't think Cena would win, so I thought once it got down to those two, I actually thought Uso was a shot. Didn't want Logan Paul to get it, but no, I thought it was good. I thought the main event, the the title match was good. Any main event with Kevin Owens in it is going to have a lot of bumps. And unsurprisingly, he took some big shots and threw the ladder at the end there was pretty impressive. So no, I didn't mind it overall as a pay-per-view. So Chad has a couple of moves you made you want to get thoughts on. Okay, you had to drop one for Collins and chose Nick Richards over Dort, Wallace, Sexton and not activating Collins. For yesterday, I'm assuming. For Collins and choose. So you went with Nick Richards, I suppose. Is that what you're sort of saying there, that you're sad that... that you chose Nick Richards over Dalton Wallace? Over Sexton, that's interesting. Sexton's still playing quite well. Dalton Wallace, yeah, I think that's fine. I would only go Dalton Wallace if you need steals. If you need rebounds and you went with Nick Richards, I think you're fine. You also had to drop one to activate Ben Simmons and chose Bilal over Wart. Shouldn't call them Wart. Wallace, Dort. Castle, Klingon, Isaac and Collier. Bilal was good yesterday. So, yeah, and I think if we're looking long-term, I mean, Wallace is who he is. Dort is who he is. Isaac, yeah. Collier, very good for assists. That's really it. Klingon is really just a stash at this point. And Castle's been playing well. He could have been the other one there to choose. But, look, I think Bilal will be fine. Also had to drop one for Goga. Chose Richards over Brolo, Misi, Okongwu, Collier. Oh, so these are moves you did earlier in the season, I'm assuming. Otherwise, you would have gone with Okongwu, surely. Collier, Asar, Clay, Oubre, dropping Goga instead for this one. I still need to drop one more for Dort as well. It's a lot of names there. Yeah, look, obviously choosing Richards over Okongwu, Clay. No, Clay's fine, actually. Oubre, he's been playing well. I mean, look, you make these moves, I suppose, and there's always going to be moves you regret and moves that work out. That's fantasy. Simmons, activate. Had to drop one for Ben Simmons and chose Isaac over Zaire Dortmund. Yeah, Isaac probably not the best pick there. But look, I mean, he did trend up quickly or short period of time and then cooled off. I don't know what they're doing with Isaac. It's so up and down. Matt Carmody watching along. Are we going with Krejci or Grayson Allen in a 9 cap? A week ago, I would have said Krejci. Atlanta are just clutching at straws at this point, I think. They don't really know what they're doing. They're going with, I mean, who'd they go with? Barlow? Or, no, it wasn't Barlow. I don't know, whoever they went with yesterday. They went with Muhammad Gay the time before that, and then he was out of the rotation yesterday. So I can see a world where Krejci moves back into a 25-minute role. But based on what we've seen the last little bit, I think Grayson Allen is probably safer. He himself has not been doing a lot, but I think his minutes are a little bit more consistent at this point. Carl asks, is Donovan Klingon still a stash? News that the Lakers might pursue Rob Williams. Yes, I think he is still a stash. I do think the Lakers should pursue Rob Williams. Injuries are the question there. Do they have faith? They need to get some assurances that, because obviously Rob Williams has missed some time this year, but I would be reasonably certain that a percentage of those absences are simply because he plays for Portland and they have three centers. So I think he's probably been healthier than we think this season. That's not to say he is a picture of health, but he would be someone, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the trade very shortly and what I think. All right, let's get into it now, actually. I can't bring it up, but anyway, let's talk about the trade. And it was, I'll just bring it up so I don't miss anyone. Let me go to Where are my team lists here? We'll start with Dallas. So we talked about winners and losers last night. We'll quickly just touch on those guys again. That first game of the night is about to tip off. All right, so for Dallas, I think the first question is, where does Anthony Davis play? Does he play at center or does he play at power forward? That will determine the value moving forward of other guys. If Anthony Davis plays the four, which we know he wants to do, that would mean starting him alongside Daniel Gafford. Now, I think from a rim protection defensive standpoint, that's pretty good, obviously. But offensively, that doesn't provide them with a lot of spacing. Anthony Davis can space the floor, but we saw a few years ago when he tried to shoot more threes, it impacted his field goal percentage and overall, I guess, appeal. That's not to say it won't happen again, but that will determine what do we do with Gafford, first of all, because if Gafford is moved to the bench and Anthony Davis is starting at center, then Gafford probably becomes a drop, or at least a back-end player as opposed to what he's been, which has been top 50, top 40. So that's the first, I think, decision that needs to be made, and it's one that we're probably not going to get for another week because Anthony Davis is currently out. With a, what's his injury that he's got? Oblique, he's got oblique or abdominal. Something like that. Abdominal, that's right. So that'll be the first, I guess, domino to fall. What happens with Anthony Davis? If he starts, what do they do with PJ Washington? If he starts at the four and they run with Daniel Gafford, Anthony Davis, what do they do with PJ? Do they shift him down to the three? And then do they move Klay Thompson to the two alongside Kyrie Irving? Or do they bring Klay off the bench? I don't think they bring Klay off the bench. I think they've paid him too much money. I'm not sure he'd do it. Well, no, maybe he would do it. But I'm not sure they will. I guess it does give them the opportunity to manage Klay a little bit more because they don't need him playing 30 minutes, 32 minutes. He can play 24. That's probably all they'll need him for. Because we talked about the depth that they have here. They have Spencer Dinwiddie. They have Max Christie. They have Quentin Grimes. They have Dante Exum. They have Jaden Hardy. So that's a lot of guards. I think what they should do is move a couple of those for one. So do a 2-for-1 or something like that and try and upgrade the depth there. Obviously, there could be a situation like tonight where you need that depth, but they're just resting guys tonight, if we're being honest. So I think Gafford's value could go, well, it'll come down. I think that's almost certain. How far it comes down depends on whether he starts or not. PJ Washington will take a hit just because Anthony Davis is there, so he's not going to get as many of those big man stats. I think he still is a pretty clear must roster player. Kyrie Irving gets a bump because he will be playing and playing a lot. And, I mean, they've indicated they want to win. This is not a move for the future or anything like that. This is a move for now. So, honestly, I mean, if you're Anthony Davis, I know that there's talk about how this trade was really one-sided and the Lakers obviously probably walk away the winner here because they've got the long-term asset in Luka Doncic, he does have some issues, obviously, but for Anthony Davis, I actually don't mind this from a standpoint of winning now because there was no way, in my eyes, the Lakers were winning this season unless they made some pretty significant moves. I know this scene for Dallas, like losing Luka, it's a big deal, but they have Kyrie Irving. They still have an elite point guard, and now bringing in Anthony Davis, they've arguably got the best defensive front court now in the NBA. And if they can upgrade that sort of sort of off-ball position a little bit, then yeah, I don't mind this. I'm not sort of as down on it, I think, as some people might be, but we'll see. I could be wrong. So Max Christie, he's probably a loser in this trade, I think, because we don't know if he starts. Do they, like I said, do they move Klay to the bench? Do they start Max Christie? if Anthony Davis starts at center, PJ Washington would stay at the four, Clay would probably stay at the three, and Max Christie would start, I would assume. In that situation, he probably doesn't take as much of a hit. So I think this, all of this really hinges on what they do with Anthony Davis. And like I said, we're probably not going to know that until, well, what, in a week, I guess. And yeah, AD has been vocal about wanting to play power forward. So this will be a discussion that they will need to have internally. Yeah, so we'll see. Lakers. No real shift here for LeBron. I think LeBron is LeBron at this point. Luka is Luka. So I think they will both do what they do. Austin Reeves is the loser here, I suppose, if we want to talk about winners and losers, only because the ball is not going to be in his hands as much. He's been playing as almost their primary ball handler over the last month since D'Angelo Russell was traded. And he's been playing very well. He now has to fight Luka Doncic for the ball, as well as LeBron, who's still there. So I do think Austin Reeves takes a hit. Rui Hachimura, and this is another discussion I think that we had internally. What are our mindset moving forward? Are we just going 100% offense, or do we need a defensive identity? Because at the moment, they don't really have a defensive identity. They've lost Anthony Davis. I mean, they have Jared Vanderbilt, who is a good defender, but he's also not playing 25, 30 minutes a night. So I guess, who do they bring in as a center? Because I'm almost 100% sure they can't run with Jackson Hayes as their starting center if they want to be competitive this season. And they are fifth in the West, so they are still a competitive team, we're assuming. They need to move Jackson Hayes. Who do they bring in? Do they bring in Rob Williams? We've talked about him. Mitchell Robinson. Clint Capella is another center that's been floated around. Jonas Valanciunas. I don't think they can get someone like a Vooch now. They just don't have a lot of picks. They don't have a lot of assets to move. I'm not sure they could make that work. Maybe they could. I could be wrong there. Did I say Mitchell Robinson? Maybe, yeah, I said Mitchell Robinson. Yusuf Nurkic, which he's sort of a weird fit, but he's an upgrade, I think, at least. So that will probably determine who starts here. Does Rui Hachimura continue to start, or would they bring in Dorian Finney-Smith, who, look, he's not an elite defender, but he's better than Rui. So maybe he gets a bump here. Because they just need his defense a little bit more without Anthony Davis. So that's probably there's a lot less on the Lakers in terms of value shifts. I think it's just pretty clearly Austin Reeves down. Jackson Hayes for now is a must roster player because he is their starting center. But we saw last night he only played 20 minutes. So there will be games where he plays 30, 32, but there will be games like last night where they don't need him as much. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's do just quickly wrap up with some questions that came in. Carl asks again, sleeper points league, need to drop one of Keon Ellis, Klingon, or Aaron Gordon today. Who should you drop? In a points league, I don't think I'd drop Aaron Gordon because he does, I mean, he's not a lead, he's not high volume, but he does stuff across the board. It would be one of Klingon or Ellis, I think. Both of them are on our stash list, so that's what sort of makes this tough, I suppose. In 3 weeks, they both might be must-roster players. I'd say currently where we sit right now, it's Donovan Klingon because he's barely playing. But I also think he's probably the safer of the stash, the two stash options out of he and Keon Ellis. Because I think even though De'Aaron Fox is going to go out, the Kings are going to bring someone in. So I'm not sort of 100% certain that Keon Ellis just moves straight into that starting lineup. So, I mean, if you're in a position where you can hold both of those stream or stash guys, then you could drop Aaron Gordon. Like I said, he's not high volume. His ceiling is not astronomical. But if you need, I guess, more points now as opposed to in 2 weeks, then I'd be okay dropping probably Klingon. I don't know. Maybe it is just Aaron Gordon that you want to go. And it's tough. It probably depends. As I said, is it for now or is it for in 2 weeks? Is Exum a sneaky buy low? I don't think so. Not at this point. They said they've got like 6 or 7 guards there. So not at this point. News came out. Jason Kidd said AD will play power forward. Okay. So should you still keep Gafford? Yeah, I think so. If he's going to play centre, he takes a hit alongside Anthony Davis, obviously, because the blocks will probably come down, the rebounds will come down. But I wouldn't drop him now. I mean, Anthony Davis is not playing for a week. So, yeah. I mean, Gafford's out today, but that's a rest kind of situation. Lakers can get any of these centres. Claxton's another one. Rob Williams, Valanciunas, Capella. Who's the best fantasy option out of those guys? I think it's Rob Williams. If he can prove he's healthy and play 26 minutes a night, it's Rob Williams. Capella's, he's good, but he's Capella. He's a bit older. Valanciunas, again, we know he'd get rebounds playing for that Lakers team, but you do have to remember that Luka and LeBron are two of the best. Well, if we're counting LeBron as a guard, which he's not, but he plays as a guard, they're two of the best rebounding guards. So Valanciunas, I don't think his value goes up substantially if he goes to the Lakers. And Claxton, he's possibly Claxton. I think it's Rob Williams, but that would assume or that would be based on him actually being healthy. We don't know if he is. Doncic is expected to play again soon. Yeah, look, I think the timeline was that he'd be back early February before the All-Star break. So we've got 4 games, I think. So maybe the Lakers get him out there for 1 or 2 games before the All-Star break. I'm not sure. When should we expect him to be ready to go? No rests or minute restrictions? It was a calf injury, so I would expect him to maybe not play back-to-backs for a little while. After the All-Star break, I would think he would be pretty much, assuming there's no setbacks, back to 100% Luka. But back-to-backs, that would be my question, I think. And here's a trade question from Nathan. In a 12-team 9-cat, would I do Asar and Amen Thompson for Vooch and Norm Powell? Punting assists, trying to boost rebounds, blocks, and steals. Who would I take in that deal? Rebounds, blocks. So which side are you getting? I'd probably prefer... If you're trying to boost rebounds, blocks, and steals, I assume you're going after the Thompson twins here. And if that's the case, if they're the categories that you're hunting, then I think that's fine. Asar isn't as good as Amen, and he's not playing as many minutes, but he profiles very similarly. He's a very good rebounder for a guard. He gets defensive stats. So, yeah, I think I'd be okay with that. Amen is probably the best of those 4. So I think I'd be okay with that. You're giving up a lot of points, obviously, but if you don't care about points, then I think that's fine. Selling high on Vooch, it probably is a sell high on Vooch. I don't see him being any better than he's been, whether he's traded or the Bulls sort of shut him down or anything like that. Yeah, we'll see. All right, I'm going to get out of here because I'm going to go and have some breakfast and get ready for work. Sad when it's a Monday, but it's the way the world works. I'll be back with a pre-game show. I'll be back with a post-game show later today. I think, yes, I should be. we'll see. I don't know if any more trades will go down. I'll double check. No, nothing has gone down in the last 10 minutes. So we are good to go. Again, thank you everyone for listening. Go and download, do all of that stuff. Enjoy the Sunday night action and enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBI Basketball.